Productions. Recorded live.
You are listening to the Geocaching Podcast, a podcast about everything geocaching, where you'll hear tips and tricks, interviews with cachers, and lots more.
Hello, I'm XPunkX with...
I'm Montu Ryder and...
Daryl W4.
We want to welcome you to episode 57 of the Geocaching Podcast, Trail Snacks, Cedo Review, and whatever else we want to make it tonight. So, we are live tonight, and you can call in 724-444-7444, and our TalkCast ID is 7525. Our show notes can be found at geocachingpodcast.info, and you can always leave us a voicemail at 206-350-3GPS. This week, I attended a CETO event that I placed, and I also placed three caches, for the CETO event, and we will talk about that a little bit later, but I found another cache this weekend. I kind of just love placing caches, because I've got this kind of competition going on right now with the local cacher here as far as placing caches. We're trying to see who can place the most in our county, and right now, as of this instant, I have the most caches, active caches placed in our county. How about you guys? What's going on, guys?
Well, no CETO here, unfortunately. There were none that were close enough by to go to. I guess next time I'll just have to place my own if there's not one nearby. Did do some caching Saturday. We went after four different caches, found one, had to DNF three of them. That got my wife and I up to 248 on our finds. Then we went out again Sunday, found one more. And then today we hit, finally, the big 250. It was a cache called Can You Find Me Now, which was kind of fitting considering it's diagonally across the street from my office, and I work for Verizon. you kind of see the tie-in with the slogan in there.
Yeah, definitely. Well, and congratulations with the 250. I know we've been kind of been, I say racing, but if you look at my our stats, it's definitely not a race. You are definitely in the winning spot. You cash a lot more than I do, so congratulations, and maybe we'll hit 500 together. So
we'll definitely see how it goes. And you know, as I've said before, we're starting to get into our slowdown time because it gets just too doggone hot down here. Where there's been a couple summers already where I've almost go non-existent on the log boards. Unless there's an event nearby, I don't have any finds during the heat of the summer. It's just too doggone hot down here. So how about you, Daryl?
Well, I did happen to go to a CETO event. We only got to stay for, about an hour and a half. But spent a bunch of time down there before the event shooting some clips for a video. Spent pretty much the entire event shooting video. Put up a little package together for Ice and Rise geocaching video zine. So hopefully we'll see that before too long up there. And it's a short little 3-minute-ish segment that kind of gives you an idea of why people go to these CETO events. But meanwhile, my new MacBook, refurbished actually MacBook, came in today. And I've been playing with that. Loaded XP Home on it with GSAC. Mac OS 10.5 came on it. And I loaded Mac caching, which is what I normally use, in GeoJournal. But I also found a new waypoint manager, which I'll talk about a little later, too, called GeoObsession.
Guys, I want to remind you that we do have a voicemail line, like I talked about a little bit earlier, 206-350-3GPS. Feel free to, at any time during the week, go ahead and call in any feedback that you want to talk about, whether it be things you learned from the show, things you want to hear, anything like that. With that, though, we do have one, so let's go ahead and hear that.
Hey, this is Muir Woody calling from Indianapolis. I just want to let you know that I've only been listening to your podcast a couple of times, but I recently picked up a real good tip. I did not know that you could download addresses from Google Maps or Yahoo Maps onto my Garmin, so... somebody recently talked about that on your show, and I appreciated finding that out. I've already used that feature. Thanks.
Well, we want to thank you for the call. Next, it's time to learn about a little bit of news that we have in the geocaching community. Anyone who uses itsnotaboutthenumbers.com may have seen that they've had trouble in the past with their web host. They get a lot of traffic, and so their web host has a tendency not to like that. And so they had trouble. They moved to a new host, but then they had problems with the program. Like, I had 208 finds when I loaded my GPX file, and it only showed I had 206. I had to track down which ones that I was missing and try to get Dave, the owner of that website, some information so he could try to figure out what was going on with it. Well, he did figure out what was going on with it with some settings, and now all is working, and this is pretty cool. Groundspeak is actually helping pay for the hosting because they saw how big of a resource that was to the geocachers and how much that everyone missed it when it was gone. And so they decided to chip in a little bit with the, you know, with the paying for the hosting. He says, however, that they are not hosting it for him, and so don't even ask. He does not even have access to the mothership database, so he's just like everybody else, nothing there. So, Daryl, what other news and information do you have?
Well, as I kind of mentioned a little bit earlier, I found that new waypoint manager for the Mac called GeoObsession, which is GeoBesession at codenotions.com. It's a beta app right now, but I kind of like where this is going. Not terribly different functionality-wise than Mac caching is, but you know, it's another take on that same type of interface. Goes to the GPX file, so if you're using something like the Colorado, you can access that. So, you know, I'm anxious to see what it's like, and you know, we've got three really promising apps on the Mac now, two of which are fairly mature, and now we've got another one coming out. So, you know, this is one of the nice things for the Mac community, that we don't have that 800-pound gorilla of GSAC, is we get to have a whole bunch of other people coming out with their own interpretations. And, you know, we've got some really simple ones. And, you know, we can get the power of GSAC coming in, too. So anything we want, I'm sure will come out.
Yeah, that's one of the great things about having a Mac, is you get a whole different community programming. So I look forward to seeing what you have to say further once you get more in-depth with that. Let's move on to our main topic. Well, first, before we move to our main topic, let's do the Jules Says segment. Jules is my wife, and she just randomly says things about the podcast that we can put on the podcast. And this is the one she said when I told her about what we were talking about tonight. She said that this could possibly be her favorite episode of the Geocaching Podcast because it talks about food. So with that, let's get on to trail snacks. Montu, what do you guys like to take when you're on the trail?
Well, personally, it depends, one, how long the trail is going to be, you know, how long we're going to be out, and also the current weather conditions. You know, we do prefer to take something that's not too salty, because, of course, you don't want to get even more thirsty while you're out there and use up all the water that you might be packing with you. Usually what we'll do is either a traditional trail mix, peanuts, raisins, M&M mix, or we might even sweeten up the trail mix by adding in the raisins and maybe even peanuts to that. But usually we go with the low salt variety so that we're really not getting that much salt intake to make us that much more thirsty while we're out there. But during the hotter time frame, we normally stay away from the M&Ms and anything that might melt in the hands, because that's the last thing you want. Get all that sticky stuff on the hands, then you're handling the cache. Next thing you know, the next cacher that comes behind either finds a destroyed cache or the cache isn't even there because some animal likes that chocolate too.
Now, Daryl. Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Daryl.
No, I was just going to say, when I go out, we always keep some Clif Bars and trail mix in the car If you get out there a little too late, we love having that kind of stuff that's actually like a little meal replacement handy. But when we go out on the bikes, we definitely take the Clif Bars because, you know, you tend to get a little bit bigger appetite going as you start riding a little bit more. But also there's something called Clif Shots. Now, if anyone's familiar with that kind of pain in your legs where you just kind of feel like you're not really ready to walk anymore or pedal anymore, that's where the Clif Shots come in handy. It's, you know, it's nothing but carbs, not something that you normally want to use, but it's a goo that's a little bit nasty to consume, but it's a goo that metabolizes a lot faster and really helps you to overcome that kind of pain and, you know, when you just can't continue on. Really works nicely for that. But almost always we bring water, of course, but sometimes when it gets a little warmer or we're going for the longer hikes or going biking, we'll use a Gatorade drink mix that's the powder, but we only use about 75% of the powder in the mix so that it's a little bit less Gatorade, a little bit more water, and that tends to work a little bit better. A lot of people, if they start drinking Gatorade, they'll get stomach cramps. This is how you can help reduce that risk. And, of course, in the mornings, we must have coffee for Dree. Dree doesn't want to go caching without her coffee. That actually goes for Chris of Team Legend 4 as well. And then on the short walks and just in the car, we got to keep some fruit roll-ups around. We know a couple of people who are diehard for the strawberry fruit roll-ups. And, of course, I love the white cheddar popcorn. What do you take along?
Now, what I take along, well, obviously we take along the water. We have usually two or three Nalgene bottles that are filled with water. We take crackers, some sort of snack that can just get us on there. We try not to get crackers, like Monty said, that are too salty because that ends up defeating the whole water thing. You end up thirstier. So we don't take crackers that have a whole lot of salt on them. But one thing we found that we really do like is like the dried apples that you can get. You can get those at like health food stores, or I think you can get them at most grocery stores too. But we like that. We usually take stuff like that. We take, if Eli is caching with us, Eli, by the way, is our 7-month-old cacher, and we usually take something sort of like baby food or something like that that he can eat also. So that's usually what we take with us when we are caching. So that's what we do. Speaking of caching and food, though, the CETO event this last weekend was National CETO Day. Daryl and I both attended one. Montu did not. Actually, we've got Blue Depth on our call tonight, too, and he was actually at our CETO event. So I will go ahead probably later and unmute him. And if anyone else, after we're done talking about this, we can, if you want to give us a call, give us 724-444-7444, and our TalkCast ID is 7525. If you're on the call and you want to talk, go ahead and press request to talk there at the top of the TalkShoe Live, and we'll get you on the show. I hosted my own event this past weekend. I contacted the local parks department and asked them if they'd be willing to help me do this event. Our event was a fairly simple event. We went out Friday, and we placed three new caches in the park so that there were three caches in our park here, and because this is a park that did not previously have any caches in it. And then we also, then Saturday, we met at 10 o'clock, and we had, we just got together, and I was planning on having a basic introduction to GPS, because I also listed the event on eventful.com, hoping maybe to get some new cachers out, and we could, you know, teach them about caching. But no one new came, so I kind of skipped that on the fly. Didn't do that, and we went ahead and people went as they came. Some different times. Most the event time was at 10 o'clock, but most of the people ended up coming between 10 and 10:45. They went out in groups to find the three different caches that we had in the park. It was about a 2-mile hike total, and then they came back and we had like a general eating time We had hot dogs, we had chips, we had some really good brownies. And so that's really what ours is about. Daryl, how was yours?
Well, ours was on the Belle Isle Park, which is actually one of the largest public parks in the U.S. It's the largest island park in the U.S. at about 982 acres. So huge park right at the mouth of the Detroit River. A lot of great history on the island. There's Ann Scripps Whitcomb Conservatory from 1904, which is the oldest conservatory in the U.S. Detroit Yacht Club's on there, the Boat Club, Museum for Great Lakes Boats and whatnot. And they also run the Grand Prix on the island there. So it's kind of a really cool place to go. You know, all free, you know, go in, have fun. But it doesn't get picked up as much as it should, and there's a lot of usage. So the Nature Zoo, which is a collaboration between the City of Detroit, the Metro Parks, and the Detroit Zoo, hosts this CETO event, and they actually brought in the pizza for us as well, which unfortunately I didn't get to partake in because I had to take off early. But a lot of cleanup had to be done this year. We actually even had one of the guys bring a canoe, and they went out and cleaned up some of the islands inside the island, because there's actually some little lagoons on the island with its own little sets of islands. And one of them had a really obvious piece of trash that had to be picked up, which was one of those orange barrels. It was actually sitting on the coast, so when that video hits the video zine, you'll get to see that one, because I had to make sure to do that. But yeah, it's really a nice place to go caching. I'll probably do some more videos for Ice and Rye, and you'll hopefully get to see a lot more of that island in the future.
Now, one thing I did forget to talk about is that we did do CETO. We did do Cache In, Trash Out. I just mentioned that we did caching. I completely forgot about it because I was staying back at the pavilion, kind of welcoming the people who were coming late. Me and my wife were doing that, and just hanging out with the kids and stuff. So we did do some cleaning. I'm going to go ahead and open up the phone line for Blue Depth, because he was actually with us at the CETO event. So Blue Depth, what did you find when you were cleaning?
Oh, just the usual. We found beer bottles, lots of those, aluminum cans, plastic, styrofoam. And the most interesting object was somebody decided to take a 9mm to a old metal tub, and then they pitched the entire thing off into the ditch.
Yeah, and I want to make a comment, too, is that we did have one of our caches was called Clean Up, and it was a... I had the cache right by that bathtub, and it was the bathtub was my clue. And they hauled that bathtub out, so I needed to change the cache page after that. So that's what I what was interesting for me, because I was like, ah, they cleaned up my clue. So anyways, yeah, it was kind of interesting, but I'm glad that they did clean that up. I didn't think personally that anyone was going to be able to clean it up, because when I placed the cache, I was actually going to place it under the tub, and I couldn't flip the tub over because there was roots and trees and stuff growing out of it. And so I couldn't do it. And so I left it near it. But apparently Blue Depth and some of the other people that were CETOing with him were strong enough to carry it out. So we do thank you for doing that, guys. Anything else, Daryl, that you want to put in as far as CETO or Montu? Montu, if you've ever been to any other CETOs, let us know. Go ahead and tell us. And like I said, if you guys that are just listening on the phone line, want to get into the call here and have had a CETO event this past week, give us a call, 724-444-7444, and our TalkCast ID is 7525. Daryl, anything else to put in here?
No, not really. Just that, you know, the CETO events are great. This is the time of year to do it before it gets too hot. Either that or wait till the fall. But, you know, it really does make a nice environment for us to go caching in if we can get all of the trash that's collected over the previous several months and just kind of get it out of there.
And it's also good, too, because it shows the local parks that we don't just want to put our geotrash in into the parks. We actually are willing to clean up their parks and help them out with the cleanup. Overall, it's a good thing. I know that the Parks Department enjoyed us being there. They really liked it and actually want to place more geocaches in their park. So that's a plus for us. And so with that, I'm going to go ahead and remind you that next week for the show is episode 58. And we're going to talk about the Geocache Navigator 1.5.3 for the BlackBerry. It's something that me and Daryl have been reviewing for a couple weeks now. We want to bring it to you, let you know exactly how it is and what we like about it and what we do not like about it. So with that, our show notes can be found at geocachingpodcast.info. Our voicemail is 206-350-3GPS. And I want to thank everybody who sponsor the podcast. I'm actually going to be putting together a wish list tomorrow on Amazon. If anyone wants to check that out, they can. With that, we love hearing from you. We love hearing your voicemail. So go ahead, give us a call, 206-350-3GPS. And have a good week caching, and go get them.